in today's episode, just why? God, why? This is Deadly Premonition 2, A Blessing in Disguise.
A new take on shows that just like I know the live action show is coming, but I would love a Gargoyles remake where it can take itself, where it can go a little, not, I don't want like a grim dark like TVMA remake of it. I just want it to be able to go basically where the comics are right now, be able to like,
they still make comics
a little
of
bit
it
further. Yeah, there's new comics, they're very
oh
good.
Wow. Mm.
They're currently coming out. It's on its second arc now, in fact.
Well, speaking of second arcs, why don't we just go ahead and get this thing done?
Guys, I don't even remember it.
Okay. It is with our forewarning, and please forgive us ahead of time, folks, that we welcome you to Funsphere Game Club. Hi, I'm Josh.
Hi. Hi, why is that spot not dusty?
And today, we are subjecting ourselves, and by proxy you, to Deadly Premonition 2, A Blessing in Disguise.
Deadly Premonition 2, Let's Be Very Problematic. Ooh. That's the subtitle.
And for those that don't know, this is a survival horror video game developed by Toy Box, White Owls, and now production for the Nintendo Switch. And it is the sequel to the cult classic Deadly Premonition. This game follows FBI agent Francis York Morgan as he works to solve a murder mystery in the fictional American town of La Carre, Louisiana. All right.
La Carre. Depending on who you talk to. La Carol, La Carre.
Yeah,
La...
it's pronounced several different ways.
You
all right.
Didn't record in the same room.
Yeah. No. All right. Who's to blame for this?
Mike.
Well,
but I seem to remember JJ was the one that brought this up first, then by triggering Mike into buying the game, who then guilted me into buying the game. And
well,
yeah, yes, correct. Samantha is the only one that came away unscathed.
So Mike ordered it first. I ordered mine, and it came in before Mike's.
Oh,
and then, since we
okay.
both got it around like a few days apart, we talked to you when to get it.
Yes.
I learned in school to not give in to peer pressure.
You did, and you learned that lesson well.
Mm-hmm.
Did you learn about Schadenfreude in school? Because you
oh,
were
yeah,
going,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. You are going to take enjoyment in our suffering. Of
really
discussing
remember.
This game. All right. So one of y'all needs to go first because once I start, I don't know how I'm going to stop. Okay?
I'm really looking forward to some pizza, and I think we should get this over with.
Okay. Okay. Agreed. That was should have been the game slogan. Let's get this over with. JJ.
So the game runs like dog shit.
Yep. Complete, total.
Somehow manages a worse performance than the first game that came out in what, 2010?
Yes.
2010, yeah. But looked like it was from 2004.
Yes, because remember, it was originally a PlayStation 2 game. I would say...
No, it wasn't.
Deadly Premonition was designed as a PlayStation 2 game. It got ported forward to PlayStation 3 Xbox.
It was on the 360.
Yeah, and the 360. That generation. Yeah, it was 2010. You're right. Okay.
But yeah, I don't understand why they took it in a new art direction. I didn't think that it lended itself well.
No, not at all.
To the setting.
I did
enjoy the vocal performances for the English.
Okay.
Dubs.
Gotcha.
They did a decent job. Mainly, there's this part of the game that I assume none of you got to.
yes, you assume correct.
Please just spoil.
It's the doctor.
Uh-huh.
Who has you go on this quest because the Lord hungers. And he always says it like, the Lord hungers.
Yes, the Trinity, the meal.
Trinity taboo or something like that.
Yeah.
Taboo
yeah.
Trinity.
That sounds but very they, Adventure Brothers to me.
It does.
Well, I thought it's something that I've never experienced in anything before. And I was curious how they went about doing it in production, where because they give his voice a lot of reverb and echo, and he's also like very flamboyant in the way that he says it, but then every single actor in the game says that at some point, and they do it in the same style. So they had to get with them and be like, here's this grand vision we have for this one tiny part of the game. Like, what did that look like?
And the Trinity taboo was the same as the center sandwich, right?
Yes.
It was supposed to be comparable. Because what the center
sandwich... Well, they give you... They're like, this music box thing is going to come in handy. And then it never gets referenced again.
90% of that game was supposed to come in handy. Camping? How many times did you do that?
Never.
Never. Not at all. Not at all. It's like, oh, I'll just go back to the hotel because this takes way too long to take care of this. And, you know, getting into the game, it felt like the guy played Red Dead 2. I think we kind of had this conversation a while back.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to copy everything he saw from there. And, oh, we can have camping. We can have rare creatures.
Yeah.
We can do all these things and shoot. And I think the thing that made it the most upsetting for me is that I hated Saint Denis in Red Dead because it felt like it was you were locked in.
Yes.
And you had all this point to be open and stuff. In this game, you're just, okay, let's bring this town, let's make it tight, and let's give you a skateboard.
Yes.
it's so bad, and I was so frustrated out of the gates.
Okay.
I really
another
oh, go ahead.
Yeah, another regression.
Yeah.
Like, from the first one, you have all these driving mechanics, and none of that came over to the second
one.
I
want y'all to remember this point because I've got something to say about that. Okay, but keep going.
Okay, and then the same use of the assets, like people just randomly popping up, like the guy in his underpants. You're like, when am I going to see this guy? Oh, he plays in the bar every once in a while. I hated the music. I hated everything about this game because I used to I loved the saxophone in the first one.
Yes.
Every time you heard it, it's so good. It's so good. This one just. That whistling skateboard song. Like, I just had to turn the volume down after a while. I couldn't take it anymore.
I didn't get that far into watching it, but I was saying earlier, before Mike joined our call, that the first one, I just couldn't stop. Like, it was so weird, but, like, compelling in a way. And this
yes.
one just didn't have that for me. And part of it, I think, was there was, like, no knockoff Twin Peaks music. It was just, I don't know, it just couldn't recapture the magic.
You know why that is? Because, and I think I've mentioned this on a previous episode, I don't think you can make a cult classic on purpose.
Hmm.
I think every film that has ever been made into a cult classic by fans and stuff like that was probably made with earnest intentions of actually being a good film, a good game, a good show, whatever. This game, on the other hand, was trying to recreate something that was created by accident. It's kind of like, I'll give you an analogy. Ghostbusters 2 to Ghostbusters 1. Ghostbusters 1 was lightning in a bottle, kind of, it just everything fell together and made a great movie. Ghostbusters 2 is an attempt to make that same type of movie, but it does not come across the same way. It comes across as being very insincere. And that's actually one of my biggest gripes with this game, is the fact that the creators of the game knew all the faults of the first one, took certain steps to remedy the most painful parts of the game, which is why the city is one big square. It's why you have a skateboard instead of a car. Those are choices they made to make navigation in this game more manageable than it was in the first game. Yeah, I know you're shaking your head. You're like, it wasn't manageable. You're correct. It wasn't. But it was more manageable by degrees compared to the previous game. And its long, winding roads and stopping for fuel, stuff like that. Okay. All right. So literally on my notes, the first thing I wrote was, oh, God, why did they make this game? I like the idea of the skateboarding. I thought it was a very, very clever way to get away from the driving mechanic. Even though it was completely like, I know that they picked it and they're like, we don't want to drive because that's what people literally lambasted the previous game for. I know I did, was the god-awful driving. And like I said, I pointed out they knew what they were doing when trying to fix certain stuff of this game. So the plot. Stop me if you've heard this one before. An FBI agent comes into a small town, tries to solve a local crime with the help of the local sheriff, only to find out that the sheriff is the criminal the entire time.
Oh my God.
Yes, the plot of the first and second game are exactly the same.
But he meant well, though. In this one, he meant well. He was a food truck driving sheriff who really loved his whatever that was by the end of the game. I did not understand what was going on by that point. I was just rushing through it, Mike. And I know when you sent us the credits, I was proud of you, man.
Super proud of you.
I was like, this is amazing. But I made it through. And that final boss fight. Well, no, just getting to the boat. I'm jumping way ahead here. No. There's just too much.
That's the right reaction. Just no with this game.
No.
Then you fight the giant. What was his name? He turns into a 10-year-old version of himself that's a giant.
So, and that was like the first one, you know, you got to see everyone's life and what they were doing and things like that. This one, you're just looking for a big person. And you found the big person pretty early. Not early, but, you know, by the end of the second act, right?
I know. It was in the middle of the first act.
Oh, my goodness.
In the meat locker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And they're like, well, I really don't need to do much else in this game because
here's the perpetrator. Arrest him.
Yeah, arrest him. Nah, let's just go ahead and go full Videodrome here and let's.
It's kind of remarkable. A lot of the stuff that happens in this game, like I don't even think drugs could elicit. Some of these ideas, and then you get an entire team of people to bring that vision to reality.
It's
and
like they played that game where you start telling a story and everybody says one word and then it moves down.
Yeah.
So, and that's how they did it.
Yep. And also the most like mind-boggling thing to me is this was bankrolled by Nintendo itself. That has used to have the most stringent requirements for a game to perform well on their system, and they let this thing release. I've never seen.
I think they've just had luck, because I want to say Bayonetta was probably the first one where they were like, there's enough of a cult following that.
Bayonetta. Except the difference is Bayonetta is a good game.
Yeah. There's really no difference.
I remember it being panned pretty hard
JJ
when it first came out.
Striking that from the record.
Well, we bought the game. At the end of it, they got our money.
They did.
So. I love Bayonetta.
Yep. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, Bayonetta's great.
Man, I wish we...
So I was looking for... See, it's been so long, I can't remember a lot of the stuff, but I was looking for... the dialogue that the Xavier, the saxophone guy in the Whitey Tidies,
yeah.
You can talk to him in the bar and it's like everything he says, his catchphrase, but I can't remember it. It's like, after every sentence.
When did y'all get tired of, what's his name? Oh man, I'm drawing a blank on his name. The sheriff.
Melvin Woods?
All of his movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. On any of his movies.
I just started skipping his dialogue.
Because when you saw his little hands, dude, this is like, it's coming. Yep.
So I would also call this game Skip the Dialogue, the Simulator, because the only thing that you are going to be doing throughout this entire game is smashing the A button over and over and over again.
I get the trying to be funny and charming, but it's way too long.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we knew we were in the deep end as soon as you meet David, the chef.
Yes.
And realize he plays multiple roles in that hotel, and you're like, I can't take this. This is
no, it's a little too much, right away. I mean, go ahead.
Can they explain why he was like, 95 at the beginning?
He has cancer. I think it's due to some exposure to something with the red plants, but it's not really super spelled out.
Okay.
Just that he's got terminal cancer. Which also then shoots the previous game in the foot because it had him living as an old man and interacting with his granddaughter in the first game.
Yeah.
Except.
And this is. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, but they just totally forgot about that for this one.
So, and I'm confused about the timeline. So this is a prequel.
Yes.
To Deadly Premonition.
And a sequel.
Yes. Based on being in Massachusetts. But we find out who David Kaysen is at the end of this one. Right? At the end of the second one. Or, because he's the one who gives him they show him walking around and his dog at least.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You still don't find out who he is. He's just some random guy who I guess they want to be like the symbol of true evil.
Yeah.
not David Kaysen. Forrest Kaysen.
Forrest Kaysen.
So I remember, you guys might remember last time I said at some point in his life, this is Suda 51. He was wronged by a fat man in a pair of overalls and decided to make him the antagonist of this series twice for some reason. And I hate to say it, I think they tried to lay the seeds, no pun intended, for a third game. Because they are talking about what's the name of the drug in this one?
The red,
red
oh
something,
my gosh.
Yeah.
Hold on.
They talk about the woman at the Aaliyah Davis, the special agent. She gets assigned to that task force at the and the end credits of the game.
The Saint Rouge.
The Saint Rouge. Yeah.
Saint Rouge.
Yeah.
Or the stinking indulgence.
Yes.
That stinking indulgence.
That also could have been the subtitle for this game.
That's
a stinking
the name
indulgence.
Of the third one. Deadly Premonition 3, the stinking indulgence.
Yep.
Oh man.
God, one of the areas of the game that I really hope they would have improved over the first one were enemies dying sounds. That was not, what was it they did in the first one? It was like, kill
me.
Yeah,
I don't want to die.
Oh, yeah.
This one, they just scream really loud. And the guy with, I didn't understand the villains at all either. Like, you know, once you're in that weird, like, St. Rouge world, and the guy with the clippers, like, snip, snip, snip. Yep. Yeah.
Cut it off. Want to cut it
so
off.
So apparently those are, I was watching, because I could not get through this game playing it, so I had to watch someone else's analysis of those games. Apparently those are, like, a deep cut reference to some sort of medieval French, like puppet show characters, like those villain types, and like,
like
a Harlequin and stuff like that. Those are like that type of same type of stuff. But apparently, those were specifically like the Clipper one or something like that, was something to do with, like the female one was like adultery or something like that, and I don't remember.
Yeah,
what about the dude that shook the locks?
Yeah.
So, oh, that guy was awful.
Okay.
Because he had the tombstone on his back, right?
So, I told you guys, you know, I don't like that they were aware and were trying to make the same type of game again. And what really, really irritates me is I can't help but compare this game and what they could have done with it to The Evil Within. Now, if you played The Evil Within 1, it doesn't play very well. It's plagued by technical issues. It's kind of janky. It's a little self-indulgent in dialogue and stuff like that. But when the second one came around, they're like, look, we learned all the mistakes from our first game. This is the game we were trying to give you the first time. Even though it's a different plot, it plays so much better. And I think with showing some of the designs, showing how self-aware they were in the game, I would have loved if they, like, you know what? This was the game that Suda was trying to give you. And the first one was just riddled with technical issues and stuff like that. If they actually bothered to try to make a good game instead of what they did, which was try to make a bad game on purpose.
I don't think that. I think that they just do not have a skilled team of developers at all. I mean, it shows in how broken that fucking game is. Like, everything runs so, so slowly.
Especially, can we talk about the undocked versus docked conditions you will try to play in? I tried to play this just handheld mode the first time. Absolutely horrendous. Like 1.5 frames per second when it was running well. And then like docking it got it up to maybe 3 frames per second when it was running well.
Well, I think I told you guys this whenever we were playing it. But for the first 10 or 20 hours that I was playing the game, the load times in between going in and out of the hotel were over 3 minutes. And it wasn't until my Switch reset that I realized that was bogging it down. But it was still like a minute and a half for load times.
I just became so very sad when you said the first 10 to 20 hours of playing this game.
Oh, yeah.
So, with that,
I got my $20 worth.
Did you? How many side quests did you just give up on? Bowling? Did you even do it?
Yeah, bowling I hated.
Yeah, I couldn't do bowling. I didn't do any of the skateboard stuff until, except for
that. I did get the first couple of tricks that you can get from her, and then I gave up on that. I didn't do the
bead collecting.
The 5 stones you're supposed to get. I didn't even bother with that at the end. I did do everything for the cop, and I had to replay the second chapter because I didn't realize that he goes away and they're missable quests.
Yeah. All a bunch of fetch quests, by the way. There's not really anything.
Yep, and you get nothing. Only halfway decent reward that I got for any of the quests was the green jacket.
And you can't do, like, the power-ups, they were useless. Didn't really help the game. There was no reason to get any of that.
I switched to the exploding bullets at the end of the game, and they worked worse than regular.
Yeah.
It took twice as many shots. It didn't make any sense. Exploding bullets.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like... Actually, never mind.
Okay.
I just wanted to tell a story about Fallout 4.
Okay, tell us a story about Fallout 4.
Well, I was doing the quest with Nick Valentine where you save him in that vault, right? And then it's like that mob guy who's like, I'm going to kill you. Ah, yeah. And while they were talking, I got that dagger from the quarry or whatever with the poison and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So while they were talking, I just went behind the guy and I stabbed him and he died. And that was the end of that.
Yep.
That's what that's like. Sometimes
yep.
You think the exploding thing's best, but you really just need a knife.
A poison knife, yep.
It was really funny. I'm the big dog around here. Oh, now you're dead.
Yep. And like I said, I'm just thinking more and more about it now, just all the retread things again. You had the last minute switch out between York and Zach again, just like you did in the first game. You had... like, it's just why force Case and be the villain again? It's just
Well, and they gave a lot of the characters special dialogue that no one would ever find. Like, just by accident, I stumbled upon that whole bit that you do with the saxophone player.
Okay,
but it would have been so easy to miss that.
Yeah, and now you had to do it at a certain time. Like, you even cared, like, gosh, who was the first boss that you... I found her near the dumpster, and she's like, I'll let you do anything you want to me. I'm like, yeah, it was so weird. And then you end up killing her.
Yep.
Oh, Mike, the bomb scene. When the bomb is near the chimney in the house, and... chimney, yes. Oh, chimney cricket. The bomb and gosh, what was the father?
Oh
name?
Yeah, the Avery something. Was it Avery?
Yeah, because the son that was married into it was I'm gonna kick your ass.
His voice. What the hell? Get out of here, goddamn FBI!
I mean, that gator bit his arm off, which is terrible.
Yep.
But no, when they blew up the house and the heads were on the chandelier,
I didn't even notice that.
They were just hanging perfectly there. It was so dumb. It was so dumb.
Wow.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's all I got.
And I don't know what was up with trying to make like the head of the Clarkson family like Big Boss.
PJ.
Yeah, I don't know why he needed to look like Big Boss, but he didn't. That was a character far beyond Suda's control. And like there is of course some controversy, as Samantha alluded to again, because again, this makes there's some shots taken at trans folks by this. Even to the point, I think some lines were patched out, and I think there was a public apology by I keep saying Suda 51 is Swery 65. Both those guys have weird names. Suda 51 does the like Killer 7 games and stuff like that.
Oh.
Yeah, my bad. I don't know why I mixed up two dudes that don't have like real names. Yeah, apparently this was ported to PC in 2022. I wonder if it actually works.
I wonder what mods there
doubt are. It. By people who actually know how to program.
See, that's the thing. I don't buy that these people don't know how to program. I don't. Like, this is not an indie studio. This is bankrolled by Nintendo. No. And like I said, you obviously had to get all these people brought in because the original team is long, long since dissolved, right? So, like I said, that's where I would have, if this were me, I'd have been like, we're going to make this game really good. And we're going to get, like I said, this is what I was trying to give you the first time. This is kind of the apology game, which I have actually heard The Evil Within 2 is called the apology game for The Evil Within 1. And like I said, it's just, I think you can, as I said, I don't think you can make a cult classic on purpose. So, and if you try to, it comes off as really insincere, in my opinion.
See, I felt this would have been more like a graphic novel before.
Yes.
Because at the beginning of each chapter, there's about an hour that you have to sit and listen. That whole coffee and pizza conversation, brutal. I mean, the guy...
every time you eat food, the cutscene that it shows is just him drinking a coffee. Yeah.
He likes to blend it up.
Mike, do you remember when they make him the coffee when they're doing the interrogation, or in the interrogation, and he's like, "Well, I gotta go to the bathroom," and he just goes on like a 5-minute convo about him having to use the bathroom.
Yep. And you know what? And in between all that, there is that that detective system that, like, you can stop the conversation and look around for clues and stuff like that. That looked,
I never used that.
It looked like it was going to be a very interesting mechanic, didn't it? And it plays zero role in the game, except opening up more dialogue trees, because that's what you want in this game, is more dialogue.
Or the point when you find where she was killed.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, here's a nice mini game to learn how to skip rocks.
Yep. You know?
And the rock that skips the best is the biggest rock.
Oh, did you find all the rocks?
There's one that looks like a hamburger, and I did the best with it. Just defying gravity and everything.
It's real great that you got to impress that guy to literally move along the plot.
I'm glad I didn't play it.
I'm also glad you didn't play it. I just think it's...
I'm disappointed at all of you for not beating the game.
Oh, shit.
I'll take it.
Mike, I made it to the very, very... Well, not the very end. I made it to the third act, and I knew what I had to do, but I just had to watch it. I could not do it, Mike. It was rough, just because each cutscene was about an hour long. Yeah. And so I'm like, let me just see how long this is. So I fast forward through the last Massachusetts scene, and it was like 45 minutes, and I didn't want to sit there.
JJ knew what he had to do, but he did not have the will to do it.
No. And then watching that final boss fight, how slow it was going.
How absurd it was again.
Flapping his wings.
Did y'all get? Well, I'll say this. There's another good thing too. I thought the design of the enemy bosses was actually interesting and could have been cool in a better game. But it's just like, they've got transformations in different phases, but you just shoot them all the same. It doesn't change anything.
I think I said this about the first game, and it definitely applies here. I think it would have been a better game if they completely removed the combat.
Yes, and originally that was how it was sold, but unfortunately it was like the combat was shoehorned in there. And again, that kind of goes back to my statement of like they knew what was wrong with it. So if you were going to make a better game, just be like, look, he doesn't have any reason to fight anyone or anything this time around. It's like literally we could make a real detective game, which is what we were trying to do.
Well, the combat, it's like every time you have to go into that dark world, it's the same setting no matter where you are, and it just every act they just double it in length. Mm-hmm. So like when you're in the Clarkson's house, you have to go through like 3 or 4 different batches of that same combat. It's so tedious.
And you're right, and that was really lazy of like the level design isn't any different for those zones.
No, it's just the same house.
Which you'll give the first game credit because they did make the dark zone, at least the level like or the place you were investigating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they try to add more when you camped outside, which no one did.
No.
But then they'll add like a little dark zone area outside, and you're just shooting dogs.
No.
Which,
or
again,
squirrels.
I was in the third act before I even knew that there were enemies at night, because I just never ventured out at night. The time progresses so slowly in the game.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah. It's real time, right? It's like, all right, so it's going to literally take me 15 minutes to get to one side of the town to the other on my skateboard. And you think, oh, in the video game, that should be at least 5 hours. No.
Nope.
15 minutes.
15 minutes.
This sounds like a prank.
You know, if it had been like an April Fool's announcement, guess what? Nintendo brings you Deadly Premonition 2, and then it's like, ah, psych. That would have been great. Oh,
no. Yeah, and they can.
Where the first had promise as a concept.
Yes.
This one just did not. I still wish they would make a game that is detective based, but also gives a kind of Twin Peaks vibe, where there's a whole group of characters and you're kind of, there's that simulation aspect of everybody's on a schedule and you're learning stuff. It's a cool concept that never took off.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about that. I was like, LA Noir couldn't nail it. This game obviously couldn't. I was like, you could maybe argue the Phoenix Wright games kind of have a detective type.
Yeah, but they don't have they don't have like a life cycle for the world.
It's like, you're right, all the good components of an interesting game are there, but nobody's been able to like put them together to make it work yet.
Oh, this game tried. They just threw everything into it.
Did they, like, JJ? Did they try?
What they did was they took all the components and they got a little bit of wet cocaine and stuck them together.
The return.
And that's the Miami connection.
What about the only thing that moves it forward early on is what's his name? The shaman guy. If he wasn't in the game, we have no game at this point.
No.
Because he didn't know what to do.
Yep. So he's talking to literal ghosts. Or maybe. I don't know.
Crazy, we know that, like, he's split personality and one of his personalities now lives deep buried somewhere with the diner lady, right? So like,
yeah, well, and that's the little fairy thing he keeps talking about, that's supposed to be her from the first game, I forget her name, what was it,
his love interest that died, the cop. Another thing that I thought was weird, that maybe I just got confused, but it seemed like whenever, what is her name? The girl that follows you
that
around.
That would be Patty.
Yeah, Patty. So whenever Patty shows back up towards the end, she is acting like she knew the other one. Like the other version of him and not the one who she was clearly interacting with the entire game.
Well, that's the thing. She did. She, remember, Zack and York switch places in Deadly Premonition 1. So he was York the whole time in this game. So when Zack comes back, they switch places one more time. Or maybe I got it wrong. Maybe he was Zack the whole time. And then York changed places with him? What? I'm confused.
Yeah.
I confused myself.
Yeah, but I just remember her mentioning the other guy.
Well, because
the whole time.
Well, he said early on, don't ask about Zack, right?
Yes, yes.
And so he made it clear that he was talking to Zack, but he did. Yeah, they didn't go into detail at all.
Hang on.
Yeah. No. Mm-mm. It doesn't add up. So I thought.
And of course, the game's so obscure that you can't search anything.
Yes.
To try to pull up these details.
So I thought they were going to go with the angle, like, after he was talking to, like, when they went up and found him years later, I thought Aaliyah was going to be Patty or whatever. Some, like,
they kind of look the same, maybe. I don't know. So I thought they were just gonna, oh yeah, she finally, you know, she followed this guy around looking at dead people. I thought that's what she would have done. Yeah. And
but no, it was, oh nope, she is the inbred daughter of a brother and sister. Wasn't that an angle in the first one as well? Wasn't there like
was,
two family members?
Yeah, like I said, that's why the plot is just a retread. I think there was somebody that was like that. I can't remember who.
It's like. I don't know. What was I gonna say? I'm so distracted by the squirrel that's right outside the window. Like,
it's a better
is
use
it blue.
Of, yeah.
Because if it's blue, you can shoot it and get
that's
points.
Right.
As a rare squirrel.
No, it's
a
just
rare
regular.
Oh. No, well, deadly premonition. They're there.
You can't be Dragon's Dogma.
I want to know where all this mystery money comes from. Like, you shave your beard and get $20.
Yeah.
That's how it goes being an FBI agent. They have very strict
good hygiene bonus.
What the heck? I took a shower today. I should get money.
Yep. Like $600 or $700. And get paid for a day's work after like 20 minutes. It's great.
Well, depending.
But then your hotel room is $158 back in 2005? I don't think so.
I was going to say all the snack machines.
I have a personal chef.
That was the one I was just like, I cannot deal with this. As soon as the chef turned into the concierge, turned into the
bellboy, David.
I was like, no.
I liked his character. Shirtless with a bow tie and the jacket.
The fancy graphics that came up when you introduced any of the characters. That was too much.
Francis York McGinn's dang smile.
Yeah.
Was scary and gross.
Yep.
Scary and gross.
And I did look, and one dude did all three of those voices.
Really?
Yeah, the bellhop and the concierge and the chef.
Well, I would hope so.
How you doing, mister?
Well, and you know, you had to talk to him to get some information, and I'm like, nah, forget it. I don't need to know
anything. I don't
about
need
this
to
town.
Do anything. Nope, just literally.
And I felt bad because I think, I didn't feel bad, but you know, you think there's a lot that they want you to see in this game, but when you can start finding beads or rocks inside mailboxes,
yep,
and you realize how many mailboxes are in the game, you're like, no, I'm not. I can't.
Oh, yeah. I spent half the game picking up like little bits of string.
Yeah.
Off glowing icon, you go to pick it up.
Yeah. And
you got a bit of string.
What are you going to do with it? Oh, nothing. Not a single thing.
And random flowers and weeds, buttons.
Mike, what about the alligators and the skateboard? Because there was that.
Jesus. So I spent a good 10 minutes. Because he says in the cutscene, I have to take out all these alligators. But they spawn infinitely. There's no way to do it. You have to just run.
So the game literally lied
to the
to
gate
you.
to get past it. Why would they say, I have to kill them all? Why couldn't he have just said, like, we have to get past
like, that
these?
That reminds me of the level of, like, bad translations on, like, original NES games. Like, I'm thinking of, like, Castlevania 2 specifically. Like, you know, it doesn't tell you, like, the real thing to do. It sort of tells you, but it's like it was a bad translation.
So earlier in the game, when I first came across an alligator, I was playing and Angela was in the kitchen. I was like, what the fuck? They cannot move that fast. And she was like, yeah, alligators move pretty fast. And I was like, not over the course of the town. It was like a heat-seeking missile.
Yeah. No, and
like they snap out of the water fast, but it's like full-on sprinting across town. Like they keep chasing you.
But you can go 0 to 60 on a skateboard in grass,
yep,
two kicks, and you're going full speed.
Correct.
And it never slows down.
Correct.
Wow.
Until you hit something.
And what about that Wally jump?
Oh.
You pretty much kiss the moon.
Oh, no. No. Yeah, Mike, more power to you, man. More power to you for beating that game. It's... No. No, it was so bad.
I think they should put that on your tombstone, Mike. This guy beat Deadly Premonition 1 and 2. The true hero.
Offense. One of my better accomplishments.
Now, Mike. Don't let this game drag you down into its depths of despair. It's not true. I mean, yeah, sure, you're going to question a lot of your life choices while playing this piece of shit. But, you know, I'd like to say...
We played it, so
yeah,
you don't have
exactly.
to.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, wow. guys.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I really didn't want to play it. I was hoping that I would start to watch it and then get the same vibes and be like, all right, I got to pick this up. Nah.
That's where one of those times watching the video will save you at least $20. Just be like, you know what? No, I've done the opposite of where I've watched some clips and stuff like that and be like, I got to get this game. I got to try it. I got to see how it plays.
You know... I think that this game is so shitty that it will come back in value. So I'll be the victor in the end.
Okay. Apparently my...
When I flip
okay,
it.
Okay. My Katana Gatari Blu-rays are worth about $700, so...
Jeez.
It's crazy how some of that stuff flips, but something tells me this one's not gonna do it. It'll be, you know, unlike Night Trap, which has its... collectors and it's definitely has its cult following. I think that this will honestly just fall by the wayside. People will fondly remember the first game for, you know, what it did, but I don't think you'll get a lot of people that would be like, well, you need to really play the second one. No, you don't. It's the BioShock Infinite of the BioShock series.
Unless Saint Rouge becomes a real drug.
If
and then,
yeah,
it's going to be popular.
And if I'll just say this right now, if Deadly Premonition 3 ever becomes a thing, then I will be utterly convinced that there is no justice in this world.
I kind of want a third one. Like, I'm just curious to see what it would be, you know? Like, I'm not going to buy it unless it's cool, but, like, you know, I'm just wondering, like, where would they go with this?
It's gonna be
well. You know the mode of travel is gonna be like a tugboat.
That'd be awesome. Honestly, the skateboard just not in because it wasn't like executed well in the game, but just the idea of like this FBI agent being like, "All right, thanks," and then just throwing a skateboard down and skating off is really funny. But like,
yeah, would you be more confused if he showed you his badge and then hopped on the skateboard, or rode in on a skateboard then showed you his badge? Like,
I think him leaving on it would be funnier.
I mean, why couldn't they have just let us graduate to cars? I don't mind starting with
because
the skateboard, but god damn it. And they wasted so many assets on cars in the game. They're everywhere, and there's so many different models.
Mention, there's like a Lamborghini just parked in the grass. Like,
yeah.
One of his legs is so
And I mean, they're driving around. You can get hit.
But then you ruin the surprise of the fast travel version with the...
Oh,
yes,
the Wyvern?
With
the hardest music in the game.
And also, like... And also, look at this meta joke we're going to make about Uber and how much it's going to, like, take off in the near future. With the same joke we're making about the electric cars and how they're going to take off in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, so you have to, like, shave in the morning, pay the $2 to go across town.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's no way you can be broke in the game. It's like, just take the car at this point.
Even with those outrageous vending machine prices, you could not go broke in this game.
No. No. Yeah. Yeah, Mike, again.
Hats off to you, pal.
My bad.
So I think, Mike, they couldn't have cars in it because I don't think two cars can fit on the road. Did you see?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
A lot of the times, cars are just parked in the middle of the grass, not in driveways.
And think about
sidewalks.
Think about what that would do to the like memory usage of the game if you put in a driving mechanic. It could barely handle showing you the same three NPCs over and over and over again in the same areas of the lobby and.
And everything was a 90-degree turn in this game.
Yes, 100%.
But no, I missed the little the music, the guitar music riff that they played in the other one when you're in the car. I wish they can add the car. If that was an update, I would go back and play it again and just survive the drive.
No, you wouldn't!
Yeah, I probably would.
Anybody else have anything to say? Thank God. Well, we'll see you next time, folks. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.